as you live the darker side, face the death of dreams that died. I've been there, out of hope and out of place, walking on one thread of faith, still believing,
Welcome to this broadcast of The Invisible Conservative. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. With this being Sunday, I'm putting on my other hat, the person that I truly am, a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm doing my Sunday broadcast, my Sunday message, and my message today is going to be about the love of God. God's love, there's really no words that can describe the love of God. There's no description that can describe His love, the passion that He has for us. But today, through my testimony and through Scripture, I hope that I'm able to convey just how much God loves us, just how much He has given us, how much He has put on the line for us. I'm going to start from the beginning, and I see I already have a caller, and I'll get you on the line in just a little bit. But I'm going to start with my testimony. I was the youngest of four siblings, born in 1994, Kansas City, Missouri. And even before I was born, there was already problems. The doctor, they discovered that there were issues or something along those lines. And essentially they told my mom that if she did not abort me, that chances are both myself and her wouldn't survive the birth. Well, she survived. He gave birth to me. He was in labor for 39 and a half hours. And when the labor, when she completed giving birth to me, they gave her a complete hysterectomy. Don't know why. Actually, I do, but that's a whole nother story. Whole nother topic. Anyway, I spent the first 4 months of my life in a hospital. I was a sick baby. And it was in that time frame that I was diagnosed with the disease that was the second case ever found in this country. And what was going on with me was that I was aging fast. Called progeria, which means premature aging in Greek. I was supposed to have all kinds of complications, mental retardation, never walk, was supposed to be dead by the age of 13, so on and so forth. But God had other plans. My mom had me dedicated to the Lord when I was a baby. And the minister that dedicated me spoke a prophecy over me. And he told my mom that your baby would grow up and preach and teach the gospel. And I didn't know that. Well, at the time, obviously, I was a baby, so I didn't know that. My sister and I, my older brother, we was put in foster care. And I'm just going to kind of breeze through the history of that. There was the history of abuse. There was the multiple shuffling of homes. I was a product of a failed adoption. Just many things that I will go into on a later, a later broadcast. I dealt with a lot of rejection growing up. I felt unwelcomed in many places. Sometimes I still do feel unwelcome in many places. But I'm grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get right into the meat of my testimony. I got saved when I was 3 or 4 years old. And it happened at a vacation Bible school in Kansas City, Kansas. This blonde-haired, blue-eyed lady wearing a long yellow dress came up to me and my sister asking us if we wanted to get saved. But the way she put it was in terms of, do you know what sin is? We said no. She then proceeded to ask us, do we know who Jesus was? We said no. He asked us, did we want to get to know him? We said yes. We started jumping up and down like someone had given us a piece of candy because she proceeded to tell us that anytime we did something wrong, all we had to do was ask God to forgive us. And as little kids, we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Because every time, for years after that, every time we did something wrong, we said, God, forgive us. And I still remember my voice squeaking. God, forgive us. I sounded like a little mouse. Little did I know that that would propel me on a journey that would come full circle. As I said before, I never really experienced a welcoming environment growing up. I never really had a mentor until I was an adult. So right around the age of 7 or 8, I was in 3rd grade at the time. I had already been adopted, was living in Northeast Kansas, Atchison, Kansas, actually. And I was walking down the street. Actually walking down the country road because we lived out in the country, lived on a 7-acre farm. That was cool. And I remember looking up at the sky. It was overcast, but there was still little sun. And I looked up at the sky and I said, God, I have no mentor. Holy Spirit, will you be my teacher? I prayed that prayer many times, not knowing if God would answer it, but he did. And as a result, my life took a trajectory that I would not identify for years to come. And that is God's love for me, because as I've said before, I endured abuse, I endured rejection on levels that drive most people to suicide or to do drugs, become addicts, all kinds of things. But I was so afraid of people that I shied away from that. And God, the whole time, was strategically placing individuals in my life who showed unconditional love to me. I didn't identify it at the time. I was too hurt. I was so hurt. And I'm going to pause right there because I want to get right into the scripture. Obviously, you know where I'm going with this. I'm going to read the love chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows it. So caller, if you have your Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and follow along, please. And like I said, this is the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, though these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Many people have many definitions of love. You have phileo, you have ergos, you have stergo, and you have agape. But here is an interesting dynamic. Phileo, stergo, and eros are all characteristics of agape love. In a nutshell, what that word agape means, it's unconditional, the God kind of love. Many times you hear people say, well, we're not capable of loving others with God's love. Yes, we are, because He lives in us. It's through Him that we're able to love others, not through our own effort. You wonder why relationships break down. Because we spend too much time putting too much effort of our own into loving others instead of allowing the love of God to flow through us. We're all guilty of it, because it takes too much work, so we think. For me to come to the point of realizing that God had bestowed in me a special ability to love with His love, it was a fight, and I still struggle because I took it to extremes. I gave people the benefit of the doubt when they hurt me, said things about me. I went back to them begging forgiveness for them because I wanted their acceptance. I wanted many things. I just wanted to be accepted and loved by them. And when it didn't take place, I got bitter and I got angry and I shut it down. But that was never who God intended for me to be. Ever. I was a bitter, angry, hate-filled individual, and I was still saved, and I'm just keeping it real. Even in that state, God never left me. One of my favorite scriptures, I believe, it's Romans 5:8, and I know that by heart. God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When new believers come into the kingdom, the first thing you tell them isn't, the first thing that they need to hear isn't what they shouldn't do, all the things that they shouldn't do. The first thing that they should hear is about the love of God. It should be broken down to them exactly how and why they were able to be drawn into that special place. But a lot of times, we get it so twisted, we get it so backwards, we get someone saved and then we beat them up with the Bible. And that is not God's heart. Everybody can quote John 3:16, and they never bother to read John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if he didn't intend for us to condemn people before they got saved, why would he intend for us to do it after they get saved? Love, the love of God, the agape, the supernatural ability to love people with the love of God, that is our secret weapon. That is what we have to take a hold of. I should not be here. I should not be here, point blank. I can't even tell you how many times I have died in my sleep. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that God performed for me. Even when I was so afraid to approach him, I was scared in my, just quaking in my boots, if you will. Because I did not have a proper perspective on God's love, on a father's love, the love of the Father. Never had a dad around. So you realistically cannot know something if you never experienced it. It does not work that way. It doesn't work that way. And God brought some beautiful people into my life. Beautiful people. Some who we have ideological differences, but God still used them in my life. Others who are like family to me. The Stone family. My cousin Shannon and her immediate family. They welcomed me when I didn't even recognize I was being welcomed. When you have a fear of people, you tend to want to get away from them. And that was me. And God, the whole time, never left my side. I'm the personification of the scripture. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. See, I was coming up, I was the devil's whooping boy. Punching bag. I can tell you things about the occult and the demonic realm and the spirit realm that would shake you in your boots. But God had a purpose behind it. It wasn't him causing that to happen. It wasn't his purpose for that to happen to me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's a purpose behind it now. Because of what happened to me, I now can expose the tactics of the devil. And the only way that I know how, and with my This is today, as I said earlier, this is my first broadcast of my messages. But I have my other shows during the week. But even in those shows, I talk about Jesus Christ. And if people have an issue with that, they can. They don't have to listen. But I'm not going to separate my faith from my political beliefs. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. When we as believers, we're the ones that have the ability to control things. It is the love of God that leads one to repentance. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. We can love people through situations, circumstances. We don't have to beat them down. We don't have to beat them down. But the mentality of the body of Christ, we're about get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. Wait a minute. Are we loving the people as we're doing? Or are we just doing to accomplish something? Remember the first three verses of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We can speak with tongues of men and of angels. We can know about prophecy and the spiritual gifts and when we give offerings and so on and so forth. But we don't do it in love. We're wasting our time and we're wasting another person's time. Especially when we profess to be believers and we're not allowing the love of God to flow out of us. We all dropped the ball. I dropped the ball today. Had an altercation. Physical altercation. And I take responsibility for what I did in that situation. It didn't have to go there. But it did. It was a point in time where I stepped out of the love of God, and I should not have done it. This is who I am. I'm not flashy. I'm not. I'm real. There will be times when people see me get mad and get really mad. And yes, I am a licensed minister. Oh, how can you get mad if you're a Christian? People, pull your head out of the sand. Ephesians, I believe it's verse 4, about the 24th, 25th verse. Chapter 4, about 24, 25, says, be angry, do not sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In fact, Let's just look it up and read it. New Living Translation still. Ephesians. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Might be verse 5. Let's see. For why not? Husband, love your wives. Do not be fooled by. Okay. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I was off. I missed the address by 2 verses. And it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Yep. I've been guilty of that on more than a few occasions. Only thing I can do is take responsibility for my own actions, repent, and move on. That's all I can do. For me, I know that God commended his love towards me in that while I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. To every believer who has the Spirit of the living God coursing through their veins, you have the ability through Christ Jesus to love people the same way that God loves you. You have that ability. Now what you choose to do with it, that's your business. But if you don't love God, if you don't love people, let me rephrase that, you can't love God. And that was a lesson that I had to learn over the years. God was still with me. He was at my side. But my actions, my bitterness, my unforgiveness tied his hands to minor heart attacks. Before the age of 22. Me. And I know what the root cause of it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The root cause was my bitterness and my unforgiveness. Yes, people hurt me. But rather than surrendering it to the Lord Jesus Christ, I held on to it. And I knew better. Because while I didn't understand the word, I had prayer. And I knew how to pray. Fortunately, God saw what was happening and he reached down. He never took his hand off me. And guess what? It's that way straight across the board. It's that way straight across the board. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? We have the power to change other people's lives through Christ Jesus if we so choose. Most people don't have time to give towards others' lives. They don't have the time, or they choose not to make the time. Hey? You might want to read Matthew 25, verses 31 through 42. Talks about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it's where Jesus said, "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. For when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. When I was shut in prison, you did not come visit me." And they asked Jesus, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you, and see you naked and not clothe you, and see you in prison and not come to visit you?" And Jesus said, "When you did not reach out to my brethren, brethren means brother, family, those who are in communion with him. When you didn't do it for my brethren, you did not do it for me." In modern times, where that applies to other believers. See, we would rather give a dollar to a foreign missionary overseas before we would give a dollar to help our own Christian brother and sister in need. There is something wrong with that. Luke 11:17 says that a kingdom divided against itself falls into desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. And the body of Christ has been divided almost from the very beginning. The denominations scripturally have no basis. And for those who might say, "Well, look at Paul," might want to recheck that. The churches Paul started were named after the regions that they were in. You can look at different examples of where people from Mesopotamia, the church in Mesopotamia, took up a tithe and offering for one of the churches in another region. I can't remember which one it was, but Paul specifically spoke about them because of their giving. And they were a poor church, but they still gave. The body of Christ in America, we are the wealthiest collection of believers on this planet. What are we doing about it? There shouldn't be any lack. There shouldn't be any lack, but there is. Love is the key. The love of God is the key. All we have to do is just let our light shine. And when the light gets dim, get another spark plug. In other words, find a scripture, meditate on it, and reignite that light. See what happened today. All it was a tactic for the enemy to try to get me distracted from the message. But what he doesn't realize he inadvertently did was give me fuel for the message. Because there is no animosity in me. Nice try, Satan. You failed. I'm laughing at you. Because you think that you can get the old me to come back out? No. I choose not to. And your plan failed. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I glorify your name. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that my message reached that one person who was listening, Lord God. Father, whatever need is in their heart, I just ask you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to meet that need. And I combine my faith with theirs in believing that they may receive a bountiful harvest of blessing. Father, we glorify you. And we magnify you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Caller, you're on the air. How you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. What a wonderful testimony. And God bless you for putting it out there and being a way shower for many who are awakening and need direction in their lives. I am doing the same in my own way, and you are 100% correct. It's all about unconditional love. That's
Amen.
The life lesson that we're all here to learn and accomplish and to raise the consciousness of all mankind through unconditional love.
Right.
I was blessed to have been married to an earth angel for 35 and a half years. And she taught me that most important lesson that life has to teach. and she passed about 4 years ago. I recently came across a woman who was holding in her heart a spot of unconditional love for all of mankind. And when I found this woman doing that, I extended to her my unconditional love, and she
Amen.
Has accepted. She actually has a blog talk program on this evening. I'm in Virginia. I don't know where you're located, but if you have the opportunity, I invite you to listen in.
All right, I'll do that.
Yes, her name is Ananda. It's A-N like Nancy, A-N-A-N-D-A, Ananda of Love. And on Blog Talk, if you Google that, she teaches a course in miracles. And
okay.
She's just changing her format a little bit, too. So I, if you will tell her that I spoke with you, perhaps you can be a guest and do a shortened version of your testimony
okay.
on a future program that she would have. That would be fantastic. And I would like to give you a blog that was put on the internet for me. I don't have email. I'm a disabled senior citizen, but this blog
okay.
was put on by an evangelist who interviewed me back in November 2009. And to access that, you would just Google the word creativity, the number 777.com. That will bring up the blog again, creativity37s.com.
Okay.
Now, the blog is just the tip of the iceberg of what I'm all about, and I am standing in my own truth, and I have all kinds of spirituality throughout my whole life, and I've had faced some very horrendous situations
right.
against evil. Some of the stuff like you were describing, I put myself totally in the hands of Jesus Christ and
Amen.
Came through it beautifully or whatever. What I am doing now, too, and I'm working with Ananda very closely, and we just came into contact with each other. I never met her physically, but she's down in Florida. I'm in Virginia. But I will be empowering her for what she's doing in many unique and dynamic ways to show everyone that we all have unlimited creativity when we don't know that because we're under some kind of an authority since birth. But
right.
in our quiet moments, if we will just open our hearts and live from our hearts with asking Jesus to guide us, then we will fulfill our mission in this life beautifully. And we
right.
will transform the world. Now, I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information. On that blog, I created a short little poem as a motivator in my own life, and I'd like to read it just so that people can use it to help them with their lives. It sort of sums up what life should be all about. But before I give the poem, I just want to say, related to my self-taught expertise of creative utilization of information, this little poem I dedicated to my wife. It's also in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed as a weapon against terrorism in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog, and currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves.
Oh, that's
now,
awesome.
The poem is titled Caring, Sharing, and it reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed.
That's awesome. That, you know, really, there.
Yes,
ahead.
And this special lady that I am, I just was spirit-driven. That's how I came to your show. So God is working miracles every second now, more and more. People will see the light, and we're the ones that have to keep them in the light and and closer to Jesus every day. But I gave this woman the word joy to utilize in a certain way, and I empowered it for her. And I said, joy has a hidden meaning that is extremely powerful and wonderful. And if you extend each one of the letters in the word joy you will know the meaning when you do it in this fashion, and that is joy means Jesus optimizes you.
That's
and she
awesome.
She has a website. She managed to get that, JesusOptimizesYou.com, and she will be doing a lot of things with me on that to bless mankind.
That is awesome.
So, again, I really appreciate your taking my call so that you know that there are many just now coming more into the forefront. They understand what we're here for, to stand in their own truth and to start rooting out the corruption and
right.
big business, big government, and the media, and to get
right.
this country of America, tomorrow's 4th of July, may it be the turning point to have it come back the way Jesus intended, through forgiveness, love, and prayer, with liberty, justice, and freedom for all, as a beacon for the rest of the world, as again Jesus wanted this country to be.
I know that's right. I can tell you this, if I have anything to do with that, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I don't know if you have an opportunity to listen to any of my other shows, but, you know, they're dealing with the political spectrum and the direction of the country. But in all my shows, I do not, I don't keep my faith hidden.
Right.
But I let people know ahead of time. I am a believer. And if you have a problem with that and you think that a Christian can't mix their faith with their political beliefs, you don't have to listen, but you're also wrong. Because it's we as believers, I was telling in testimony at my church this morning, that we as believers, God gave us the weapons to drive this country in a right direction. We have those weapons. But the question is, what are we doing about it? And then just to hear what you just shared, you know, that's, just put it in my modern vernacular, that's off the chain. I love what you're doing, and it's really awesome. And
you don't even know me yet. I'm a very, very powerful person, and I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud by a front page Wall Street Journal article, which was dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983, written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. And if you Wikipedia Mr. Quitney, you'll see he was a true journalist back in the day. He exposed corruption on a daily basis. But the individual that I exposed, I believe, was a CIA operative. And at the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright. Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House. But that article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who then dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. The whole article came about from one short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right.
Right.
So there are things that can be done, but it has to be done by not just trying to fight things. You have to have let God take care of things. Just shine the light on it.
Exactly.
And again, I don't look to challenge Satan or anything, but if he gets in my way, I just call Jesus to deal with him every
Amen.
Time. And
that's
well, I don't want to fight the devil because I'm not strong enough to do that, but Jesus is plenty more stronger to take care of anything that has to be taken care of. So that's why you have to learn to invite him into your heart. And also, I don't try and convert anybody into anything or tell them what is right and what is wrong. I just invite them. I say, you can't go wrong if you just ask Jesus to help you, and that's what he's waiting for. So when you do that, then you open the door of communication, and Jesus is there all the time, but you have to ask him. And it's not a question of asking for material things. It's a question of asking Jesus to do what's best for you in your life.
Right.
and to help guide and direct you. And people that have a lot of material things, there's good and bad everywhere. Some people need them to be satisfied and to be able to put out good messages for people once all their needs are met, to show them that the laws of attraction are very simple and very basic. You put out good, you get good back.
Right.
So that's the way to try and go. But I have the call-in number if you would like it for that show tonight. I just
okay.
pulled it. It's area code 646-595-3440. And Ananda is such a sweet and loving person, but she can be a little ditzy. You may not understand her all the time, but if you contemplate what she's doing, it'll sink in a lot of times. Like the first time I came into contact with her, she just told me very simply, everything's taken care of. It's all done. Just sit and let it manifest. And I was totally confused by that because I've been pushing and trying so hard to do things. But now that I followed what she was talking about, I'm watching it manifest beautifully.
Right.
So it you know, again, God is there to do it. And I found the three most important words in life are forgiveness, love, and prayer.
Exactly.
So you have to also forgive yourself. And it's not just about when you do forgive others, you're forgiving yourself.
Exactly.
So I know your show is winding down. I don't know if you had any final messages, but I hope that you'll enjoy the blog and enjoy Ananda, and that you'll definitely be a guest on her show, and maybe she can be a guest on one of your shows too. Because
most definitely,
we're going to be doing a lot of stuff, big stuff, pretty soon.
You know, God brings divine. He brings divine connections. You know, I was just talking to someone yesterday about a project that we're about to do. Obviously you see from my name that I'm a conservative, and I'm a black conservative, which is rare. So what we're starting an organization that it's not going to be a nonprofit. It's actually going to be a for-profit organization, a think tank where we bring in conservative people who want to learn about the true values of conservatism and what the true nature of the Republican Party is. See, the Republican Party has gotten so far away from its roots
if I can interrupt you, both parties are no good. They're both
right.
Corrupted by the special interests and lobbyists
right.
have totally corrupted Washington. And any president coming in is just a figurehead and a mouthpiece for
right.
elite to control everything. So that's what has to be rooted out, and that's
right.
what I'm working on. But I will give you a site to take a look at related to the political area. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
I have never met him either, but Light Party, LightParty.com. His name is Dr. David, first name D as in David A, last name capital V as in Victor ID, and he's a wonderful humanitarian. He's a write-in candidate for president, and
okay.
tomorrow's his birthday.
Oh, wow.
I never heard of a president candidate that was born on the 4th of July, so I think you'll find his site quite interesting. You can email him and introduce yourself through my name if you want to learn more about him or have any questions.
Okay.
And the blog that was put on the internet for me, the email wouldn't come to me. So if you see my number, it's on the blog. Also, I'll talk to you, you know, when you have some free time. If you don't get me directly, just leave a message and I'll call back. But for one of your other shows, I would like you to possibly listen in the archives to this woman in Chicago. She's a house of fire with the elderly and talks about politics and stuff. And she, her site is Kathy, C-A-T-H-I, Watson, WATSON.com is
right.
her website. And she's on Tuesdays through Fridays in the, I think, 5 p.m. Eastern time. And she is a marathon stair climber. She climbs like 50 floors in 16 minutes at age 77.
Wow.
She was on Oprah back in the 90s. And she is acting, Shakespearean acting with a black man in his 40s.
Wow.
They just love doing it, yes. And Kathy knows who I am, so definitely introduce yourself. And there may be things when you get your profit thing going where you could sponsor her shows or get her out in any community. She's unbelievable. She's fully charged up and has seminars that would be very easily to put on to motivate communities. So your show is over already. I'm sorry it took a long time.
Oh no, you're
fine. Did I give you the call-in number?
Yes, you did. And I'm able to. 646-595-3440. I'm actually
right.
Able to. I'm still recording, and everything that's recorded will be on my blog.
Yes, it's available to you. Sure.
So yeah.
And related to love too, I have a friend. I heard you mention. I think you mentioned the Agape Church in the beginning of your testimony too, or.
Actually, I was just talking about the term agape love, just
because
I have.
I have a friend. He's a numerologist. He does past life regressions, but he's a wonderful human being, and he just is sort of like a gypsy of the world and spreads love wherever he goes. His site is Julian JULIAN Michael MICHAEL JulianMichael.net. And he's good friends with Dr. Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church in Los Angeles, which is a movie The Secret was based, yes.
Okay.
So maybe there's some interaction you can have there, too. Who knows? But these people know me, so feel free just to introduce yourself through my name.
All right. And what is your name?
Hugh, H-U-G-H. And the last name is on the blog.
Okay.
Because I don't want to give it out too much.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It has global recognition in the food service field, my last name. So I.
Right.
If you can, you know, once I speak with you, there's ways that you can shine the spotlight on me and get a lot of attention, but I don't want to do that until you start investigating me a little bit more and are comfortable doing that.
Right. All right.
And real quick, too, related to the blog, this will show spirituality in my life also. On the blog, you will actually see a letter from President Obama to me that's coming up on a two-year anniversary. It was dated July 7, 2009, and it's about the economy. I responded to the letter and followed up numerous times. Unfortunately, I never heard anything back from the administration.
Right.
If I had in the beginning, we probably wouldn't be in the state that we are now. So
yeah.
I hope that, I don't know if he'll, he's taking us in the wrong direction. I don't know if it's the people controlling him or what, but entrepreneurism is what built this country.
Exactly.
And all the blocks putting on the little guy in the garage and the mom and pop have to be removed and a free flow of information to help them. This is what I'm looking to do is, get home-based businesses or whatever in addition to your jobs to leave a legacy for your families and interact with the communities and go back to all the homelands where the melting pot for the world might be relatives back in countries that you can do smaller scale import-export and then
right.
These big behemoths will have to learn that they're not going to control us anymore. They're going to have to behave and give us good products and services and in addition to that, be more responsible for their employees, the environment, and the communities. Otherwise, they're not going to be around long in the future.
Right.
It was a real pleasure coming into contact with you, and I do hope you'll enjoy Ananda and interact with her, and then feel free to give me a call when it's convenient.
All right, Hugh. God bless you, and you have a good evening. Thanks a lot
for
calling.
Thank you, and you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You have been listening to a very special broadcast of the Invisible Conservatives. I'm your host, Thomas Smith, where I'm not only not politically correct, but correct politically, but I'm also saved, spirit-filled, and a lover of Jesus Christ. You guys, take care. Until next week. Same time.
Life is for the living.